Happy Halloween, trick-or-treaters, dreamers, campers, suspects, and deadites. What you're about to hear is a clip from our latest installment of The Rental. It's a deep dive into 1982's Spanish slasher classic, Pieces. How do you hear the full thing? Become a member of our Patreon, The Rewind. You can find a link in the description of this episode, or you can visit www.patreon.com/halloweeniespod. Hope to see you there so we can give you one more scare.
Continue with some questions about the actual movie itself. So one thing I noticed watching this picture is that it appears to have a self-awareness of the grindhouse aesthetic and the slasher genre. Do you think that's intentional, knowing a little bit about these filmmakers and these producers on their part, that they're trying to make a movie that kind of takes the piss out of the horror of this era? Or do you think they're just kind of leaning into all the tropes so hard that it almost comes out the other side as comedy?
I don't think they were going for comedy at all. I truly don't think that.
I think
it came out that way.
This is the best case example of circumstantial, situational, production history that comes into like the humor aspects of it all. Cause like, if you think about it, like Simone, you know, he grew up watching American movies, and he had actually, I mean, according to Joe Bob on the pieces, because I was wondering about this while watching it, I was like, this feels like someone commenting on American culture that doesn't really know what American culture is, which is, for me, if we do this to other countries, we're always like, everyone just goes nuts about us. But when people do it to America, it's funny.
The because ugly America American.
Is, yes. And I think it's funny because we kind of need that sort of heat check a little bit. And watching this, I was like, oh, this does feel like it's from the point of view of someone who is just literally painting hyperbolic America, or, you know, sensational America. And that's literally what happened. Because, like, I mean, according to Joe Bob, he was saying that like Simone had never even been here. And I think that's funny considering how entrenched in just what the American life is. I mean, you have the American teens, you have the American cops, and then you have the American culture. And I kind of think that it speaks for the humor in this. I mean, especially the, you know, not only mentioned the one-liners, but just the awkward nature of it. Like, everyone kind of seems like they're aliens in this. Like, it's like, I think when I was talking to Justin about it, Justin was like, it's like one of those situations that we always talk about where it's like, if aliens were tasked to like create a movie about humans, that's what this case is. But in this case, it's a Spanish filmmaker saying, all right, here's American culture in the way that I see it. And that's kind of interesting to me. Like, to me, that was the most insightful thing I got out of this movie, is that, oh, this is how he saw Americans. And to be quite honest, not too far off, I will say. So,
well, it's funny because if he grew up watching American film, then to me that feels like, well, then wouldn't you know that none of this is actually real? Like, none of this actually happens in America. But I will say, even if it was written with that intention, I don't think any of the actors knew what movie they were doing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think in the dubbing, there's a lot of, and largely with Christopher George, where he is really trying, like, whereas with other actors, because they're dubbing over someone that was speaking Italian or Spanish, they're just saying the line, right? Yeah. Like, in a normal way. But man, all the American actors are really trying to sync up their lips with what's happening, and it gives it such a weird, weird delivery every time that it just comes off like alien. like they don't know how to speak yet. They don't know how
it's
to,
almost
like, use
otherworldly,
the body yet.
Yes. Yeah, in a way.
It's so funny.
So I think once you start debating genre, subgenre, you're always going to get in trouble, because like, the best movies kind of transcend genre. But if you had to draw a line in the sand with Pieces, is Pieces giallo or is Pieces a slasher?
The thing is, giallo that's always so hard for me is that, you know, the way I look at what giallo is I kind of lean more into the whodunit aspect of it, which clearly isn't the case. But for me, that's what I always think of when I think of giallo. Whereas a slasher, like, you could even just see the fucking, you know, the stalker. I mean, I think like the Prowler, like, we don't really necessarily need to know even who it is. It's just this guy.
Right.
Whereas like with giallo, like, you don't even really see the person usually. It's mostly a lot of point of view shots. It's the arm. It's here and there. And that's kind of how I've always looked at it. In that sense, like this movie, obviously you see the shadow-esque creature here, or the creature, the person. But
and
for
he's clad in typical giallo wear. He's got the big hat, the raincoat, the black gloves, except it's not a knife. It's a gigantic, loud chainsaw that he's using.
That he can easily conceal when walking into elevators.
Oh, I know. Well, that was, bad idea.
That's a big coat.
I think it's very giallo. I mean... Yeah. It was funny because all I could think of was Tenebrae, which came out the same year and later that year, I think, which is weird. But I think they all had clearly influenced by that genre. Absolutely.
But you know what's also part of the giallo that I always think of is like this sort of spatial dreaminess of it all. Like when you think of Suspiria, like if someone said, all right, write down... Like in any of the movies, actually, Argento movies, write down like what you think is the spatial, like the location... You know, like, what? Make a map for me. You wouldn't be able to. Like, your mind would just, like, crumble. And that's kind of the same way I look at this movie. Like, I just feel like there's just all these sort of, like, stitched together areas and set pieces that all seem like they're seemingly connected, but also not. Like, someone dies, and someone nearby hears it, and it seems as if they're in three different locations across the campus. And to me, that is a part of, like, the sort of... spatial awareness or a lack of awareness, if anything, that really kind of fuels a lot of the giallo movies for me. Like, I think about Deep Red when the detective's walking around the town. At one point, I think there's like an outside diner that's underneath, and then there's like, you know, pitch black on one point. There's a courtyard. It's just like, what the fuck? Where are we? Like, and that's kind of that's kind of the unsettling part of a giallo that I like.
The dreamlike atmosphere. Yeah.
Totally.
Here's another question. Have you ever smoked pot and gotten laid on a waterbed?
I don't like waterbeds.
Really trying hard to think about that when that line hit, amongst other things, but...
I've been stoned and been on a waterbed before, because my best friend growing up had one, and so when we'd have sleepovers, we'd all sleep on it, and I'd be upset because I hated it, because I couldn't go to bed. They would just, like, you're just moving.
I can't imagine anyone wanting to be stoned and on a waterbed, because I feel like that would just really weird you out, right? You're already, out there. You think it's a good thing?
It's cool. No, I am a fan of the waterbed. I had a waterbed growing up because my uncle sold waterbeds. So I slept on a waterbed for most of my life, and for years as an adult wanted to get one, until the current mattress I have, I won in a contest when I sold mattresses back in the 2000s. I know this is very personal, very weird.
Is your uncle Cooper Hoffman from Licorice Pizza?
Well, wait, close now, enough. Mike, has that happened to you? Have you smoked and made love on a waterbed?
Yes. Oh, yeah, because so there's a great motel out near Summit in Chicago, but it's near the suburb of Summit, called the Rainbow Motel.
Oh, my Lord.
Everybody who's listening to this...
What's the exact room number so that people can go re-experience?
I can't tell you, but, but let me tell you about the rooms at this place.
Okay.
This place has... a room with a bed that looks like a sandwich. It's got the Roman room. It's got the Vegas room. I was in kind of a generic room with just like the heart-shaped hot tub and a waterbed. The problem with this place is they don't fill the waterbeds up with enough water because it's a cheap motel. So it's not as comfortable as it could be. But I have a funny story. When you spend a night, because most people only spend a couple hours there, you know, the nap rates. When you spend a night... you get a free bottle of champagne. And this was after a wedding. I was there with a young lady. And I could not get the bottle of champagne open. It had a weird cork on it, this weird plastic cork. I'm a little tuned up, too. So I call the front desk to ask how to open this bottle of champagne. And the funniest part is that this woman had this call before. I was not the first person that night to call and say, how do you open up this, champagne? But I got it done. And big fan, wanted to put a plug in for the Rainbow Motel. But Max, I didn't tell you the best part. As an X-Files fan, they have two spaceship rooms.
Ooh.
But they're always booked. I have never been in the spaceship room.
You need to make
either
a book.
One of them.
Can someone write
this out?
One of the listeners out there who really is like a diehard Vanderbilt. We need like a volume of novels, like not even just one
the intolerable
memoir,
novel,
like the entire like a series, like the fucking Hardy Boys or something, or like Elmore Leonard novels, but in the style of just all your experiences that you've had. I mean,
like take that one story and build a story around
yes,
it. How did I
exactly.
end up in the Rainbow Motel?
Have you guys ever seen Wonder Years?
Yeah.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM podcast network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.